Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Earlier this week, Governor Cuomo was here to contrast his opinion with Mayor de Blasio's on pre-K and charter schools. And we're going to follow up on that now as the conversation has continued to progress. And significantly, Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver seems to have moved toward the governor's position, away from the city income tax hike on the wealthiest that the mayor wants. Here is Speaker Silver from yesterday commenting on an alternative to the mayor's tax coming from the state Senate.
I'm not married to a tax. If they provide a fund, $500 million, that satisfies the pre-K needs of the mayor of the city of New York without conditions, without attachments.
And back with us briefly this morning is Governor Cuomo. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Brian. How are you? I caught part of the forecast. They're not forecasting snow, are they, for next week?
St. Patrick's Day, Governor.
Snow for a change, Brian.
Indeed. Are you marching, by the way?
I will not be marching, no.
Is that a stand because of the exclusion of some?
Yeah, a long-time stand.
And do I understand that there's some breaking news from Albany this morning on the budget?
There's always breaking news. The Senate and the Assembly are passing what's called their one-house resolutions, which they were doing. That's what Speaker Silver was commenting on the clip that you ran. And these are basically their political statements about where they are on first blush at the beginning of the budget process. It's predictable, and they're not exactly precise. I call them the Christmas wish list version of budget making, because the numbers don't have to add up. You know, they just put in everything they would want. But the biggest issue for the budget this year is we're going to do tax cuts. And who gets the tax cuts? That's the first issue. Who in the state, what income levels in the state, and what are the conditions of the tax cut?
So is there unity now between the Assembly and the Senate and you, roughly, or no?
On the tax cuts, it appears no. There is unity between me and the Assembly, plus or minus. The Senate, I believe, which would be striking to me, the Senate has no tax cuts for low-income people in the city. We have what's called a circuit breaker and a renter's credit, basically a tax cut for low-income people. And it looks like the Senate has no tax cut for people in the city, which I think is unfair and is a non-starter from my point of view. So that's the first issue. Second issue is I want to link the tax cuts to a certain economic behavior by the local governments. And I want to say that we have over 10,500 local governments in the state of New York. This is basically outside the city. And we need them to actually do shared services, find economies of scale. That's the second issue. The local governments are resisting it. They don't want to feel pressure to cooperate with their neighboring local governments. I frankly want to pressure them to cooperate with their local governments. That's the second issue. We then get to pre-K. Pre-K, I think it's there's been a lot of talk about it. I don't think I was ever at odds with the mayor, as you suggested. We both want pre-K. That's what's important. The question was, how do you pay for it? I think it's going to wind up the way we said it was going to wind up. The city will have the funding it needs without doing a tax. I don't think there's a specific dollar that's going to be attached to that. Speaker was talking about 500, Senate was talking about 500. It's going to be what the city of New York needs and what every city in the state needs. It will be statewide, and it will be dependent on them to operationalize the system, and at the rate that they can operationalize, we can fund.
And you make it hard for the city to say no to your version of how to fund pre-K when you put it that way. It's hard to say no to somebody who's offering you money to spend on a program that you say is very needed without you having to spend your local money. But let's say the mayor wanted to come back to you next year if your version of pre-K funding goes through and say, Governor, I still want to hike taxes a little bit on the wealthiest 1% of New York City residents because income inequality has ballooned so much in the last decade with so many New Yorkers stagnating and that 1% doing better and better. It's not going to hurt them very much. And this is just the city. So why should the state stand in the way of us doing something just at the city level? What, hypothetically, what would you say to the governor in that? To the mayor in that scenario?
Two things, Brian. First, we have a conceptual disagreement, the way you phrase it. They are the city millionaires. I consider them the state's millionaires, right? Where you sit is where you stand. They happen to be the vast majority of millionaires in the state. The rest of the state has other things that the city doesn't have, but the millionaires tend to be disproportionately located in New York City, and this is a state that's the governmental entity. The city is a creature of the state. Cities are creatures of the state, and they are the state's millionaires. Second, I don't believe the mayor would say to me, we have a problem called income inequality, and I want to tax as a way to remedy income inequality. That would be a confiscatory tax. He would say, I need the money to fund a service. I don't believe he would ever say, I'm trying to detract from the rich so they're closer to the poor.
No, but there are so many services, as you know, that scrape by on what they can raise through tax revenues. And if it would so minimally hurt the wealthiest to contribute more to those coffers, to those services, which wind up reducing inequality, maybe that's a better way to put it. But you wouldn't be sympathetic to that?
Well, yeah, but Brian, the way you put it is all the difference. If you said, I want to tax the rich in connection with income inequality, I would oppose that philosophically. If you said, I want to tax the rich because I have a vital service that I can't afford otherwise, and I found economies of scale, and I have everything working well, but I need the money, that would be a different conversation. The conversation this year, because that's all nice and hypothetical, but the conversation this year was the mayor said, I need the tax because I need the money, A. I then said, as you said, well, I'll give you the money. B, he said, I want the tax because it's permanent or more permanent than a one-year budget law. That's just not true. The state can pass a tax for New York City this year, and the state can take the tax away next year, just like the state could undo any budget law. So there is no more permanence in the state granting a law. The mayor also said, well, I want a verifiable funding stream. There is no verifiable funding stream other than the state passes the budget law. So, but I think this was all in the weeds. I think the question was about pre-K, and we're doing pre-K, and we want to do it statewide, and we've always wanted to do it statewide, and we're going to move on with that. Charters then becomes the last issue, which is in some ways more complicated, well, in every way more complicated than pre-K, because pre-K, as I said, I think it's going to be fairly simple for every city, not just New York. It's going to be, and I want to put the burden on them, operationalize quickly and well, and you will be eligible for state funding. That's going to be pre-K. And they can give me an estimate now. The city can say, well, I think I need 500. Buffalo says, I think I need 100. But I'm not interested in estimates. Come with the actual, and then we'll fund the actual number. On charters, charter schools, while only representing a minority of the students in terms of numbers, I think are very important for the system. I think they bring creativity, they bring innovation, and they bring choice, Brian. And to the extent the conversation and the schools themselves provoke reform for the rest of the system, I think that's a good thing.
You said to us on Monday that charter schools, in your estimation, are an even more important discussion to have than pre-K. Did you mean to say that charter schools are more fundamental to reducing inequality in New York than pre-K or after school, as the mayor has asserted?
No, if those were the words I used, what I was saying was in this budget context, it is a more complicated conversation and a more urgent conversation than pre-K, which is what I just said again. Pre-K is straightforward. We know how to fund it. We know what we're going to do for the city and for the state. The charter school issue is, from a budget point of view, a public dialogue point of view, a fairly recent issue that just cropped up over the past few weeks, right? And that is now a more urgent conversation to resolve than pre-K, because we've had months to discuss pre-K, and frankly, we had a resolution to it months ago. But charter schools is going to be an urgent issue with a vast difference of opinion, is my guess, in Albany.
So you're asking for what?
I am asking for nothing. I want to make sure that the way the laws are written, the charter schools' concern is addressed. They want to make sure that they can continue and that they can grow and that they will not be stopped.
So you're pressuring the mayor, from your standpoint as governor, to do something with the New York City public schools in terms of co-location?
No. No, co-location, that's up to a mayor. It's up to the mayor of the city. It's up to the mayor of Buffalo. It's up to the mayor of Albany. That's up to a mayor. I don't want to see a system statewide where charter schools can be aborted by any mayor or any city.
Aborted meaning stopped once
yes.
they're planned?
Stopped or just not continued. You know, you could have a mayor who could say, I don't believe in charter schools and I will never allow another charter school to be in my city. I don't want to see that to be the case anywhere in the state.
So, again, to be as clear as we can be, you are trying to intervene in the case of some of these charter schools in the city that seem to have been stopped. Is that correct?
No. The issue in the city, as I understand it, is a question of co-location, is the specific decision. Co-locations, you know, you can look at each one. It has to make sense on the merits, and I think that's a good decision for the mayor. Does a co-location make sense in this school at this time with this number of students or not? That's up to a mayor, in my opinion. The Senate, I believe, may have different language, but I think that's up to the mayor. I don't think we should leave it up to the mayors whether or not charter schools are allowed to operate and continue and grow. I believe we should have a state policy on that.
Got it. And let me ask you one final thing, and I know you got to go, and I really appreciate you giving us this time today, on charter schools. Because on Monday you talked about how important it is in a state and a world where the public schools have so massively failed poor kids to give them these choices. And I think you said at one point that for a lot of kids, these are their only hope. But on the statewide tests last year, the charter schools in the city performed 5 points better in math, a few points better, 35% passing as opposed to 30% passing or proficient in math, and 1 point worse in reading. So is that such a significant difference? Does that really tell us charter schools are the significant answer to anything?
What I think, first of all, let's remember the context, Brian, because I agree with the thrust of the editorial comment in your question. If I can say that, the overwhelming number of students are in regular public schools, right? Over 90% plus are in regular public schools. So if you want to help kids in public in education, you have to fix the public schools. Charter schools are representing a small number of children. It's been a growing number over the years, but it's still a small number. So you're not going to make a meaningful difference in education on the numbers by just addressing charter schools. But what charter schools are doing, I believe, is they are experimenting and they're trying different things. Some work well, some don't work well. But the experimentation, I believe, is a good thing. FDR loved to say bold experimentation. And anyone who's familiar with the public education system has to agree We need experimentation. We need reforms, because you have many schools that are failing and have been failing for a long, long time. And charter schools, there are some great ones, Brian, with some great achievement. What are they doing? And is there something that they're doing that's working that we can take and migrate to the other schools? Now, some people find charter schools threatening. I understand that. Some people find them distracting. I understand that. But there's no doubt that they are innovative and they are creative, and that we need that to improve the overall system. And I tell you, the way they have touched people, I came out of a building on Park Avenue the other day. The doorman came up to say hello. He said, "I just saw you in Albany." This is a doorman, Haitian doorman, took off from work to come up to the charter school rally in Albany. It was 6 degrees. His son is on a waiting list to get into a charter school. I said, "Well, you know, charter school." He said, "Well, the public school in my community has been bad. It's been bad for a long time. And I'm afraid if that's where I have to send my child. And at least the charter school gives me a choice." So I think there is a lot of merit to charter schools. And again, does it replace the emphasis or the stress or the urgency of the public education system writ large? No. But there's no reason to stop it. It has given us no reason to abort that movement. And that's what their concern is. And I think from a state's point of view, we want to say, we'll leave the specific decisions up to mayors, co-location, not co-location, where, how, but they should be allowed to exist and continue and grow, because it's healthy for the overall system.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, thank you so much.
Thank you.